few joints. I know. Some of you are going, you'll need a donut if you do that. Don't go there. Some of you know whenever I say something funny like that, means I'm fixing to get with the program here, and that's exactly what's going on. Psalm 119, stand with us one more time. Look at verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. Verse 10, with your whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 12, blessed are you, Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have internalized the word so that I can express the word. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. The idea there is worship. I have worshipped because of what you have written. Just like as if I was filthy, rich, swimming in money like Uncle Scrooge in the vault. I will meditate in all your precepts and will have respect to your ways. This is going to be the consuming thoughts of my mind. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Tell your story. How can I live a life without regret? How can I live the rest of my life without regret? How can I live in such a way to please the Lord? Would you pray one more time, Father? Front to back, left to right, side to side, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd help me to preach your word without apology, Lord, but with pastoral love. I pray I'd speak clearly, enunciate well. I pray you'd help me to say the things that would honor you. Lord, I need you this morning. Lots of distractions, Lord, lots of burdens, but Father, I need to be focused on you and the message. So help me, I ask and pray. Speak to every heart. I pray that you draw people to yourself. May people not hand the message to someone else. May they not suggest it's a good idea. May they take it as the word of God for them, to them, rather. So help me, I pray. I ask it all in your Son's wonderful and precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. They talk about the crisis right now going on in college and college education, and it certainly is that crisis of student loan debt and the years, if not decades, it takes for people to pay that off. And I have said a little bit about that, and I would concur that it is a crisis. It is a bad thing. I would simply suggest there's a bigger crisis, and that crisis is that not that they're in debt and unable to be ready for the world, but the crisis really that faces so many folks in their teens and younger years is they're not ready to live for God. They're not ready to live for God in the world. They go out thinking everything is there, and they go out thinking, man, I'm just supposed to party and live it up and have a few regrets and a few weekends I can't remember, and then maybe settle down. And I suggest to you that's not only a bad way to think about it. I think that's a terrible way to look at anything, because we never avoid the consequences. We can choose our actions, but we sure can't choose our consequences. Recently in the news, the Boeing company has had a tremendous amount of terrible publicity. They've had the bad publicity for two different reasons. One is one of their jets crashed, and then another of their jets crashed. And it's their flagship, the 737 Boeing MAX. As it turns out, it's because of over-automation. The last flight that ended in total fatalities, when they released the recordings of the black box, they actually heard the pilots fighting with the controls, fighting with the pitch and the yaw, trying to get it. As they overcorrected, and as that was doing what it was built to do, you heard the exasperation of the old no as it crashed. They've done what is necessary now. As they've gone back, not just from pilot, not just from tower, they've even ended up at the Boeing plant there in South Carolina. As they've begun to peel back what's going on at the Dreamliner plant, what they found is that they had an overly ambitious schedule, and they push workers to allay their concerns and their fears because they had to meet their deadlines. And they promoted what they have begun to call a fear of retribution if they spoke their concerns. Psychologists say this is what's called an absence of psychological safety. You can't speak up. You can't point out problems. You can't do that without fear of retribution. And when you live your life not understanding the danger that's out there, let me help you, that's never going to end well. We're wired to say risk, reward, good, bad. But when you say no such thing as bad and no such thing as risk and no such thing as it ever is going to end poorly, that is a terrible way to live. All these are become what they're calling a wake-up call for Boeing. If you take that from a business to an organizational or a personal point of view, you begin to understand. You say, it won't happen to me. It can't happen to me. It'll turn out differently for me. I'm immune to the consequences of my behavior. Then just like Boeing 737 MAX number one crashed and 732 737 MAX, the second one crashed until they pulled all the planes and began to work on the problem. Until you understand that, until you understand that you cannot live that way, wait for it, I suggest you're ready for headed for a failure as well. Let me pause for a second. Some of you, that is part of your story. It won't happen to me. It won't bite me. It won't interfere with my plans. I won't be that guy. I won't be that woman. And what you know now is, Everyone can choose our actions, but we can't choose our consequences. Psychologists have an expression for this. And the expression goes like this. It's called discounting the future. I can play now and never have to pay later. I can sow now, but I won't reap later. The reality is, if you live this way, you are absolutely, positively, and I like the expression, you are discounting the future. Let me say it a different way. I've got it on the screen for you. I've got the negative and the positive real quick here. How can I live a life without regret? Anybody in here have regrets? Anybody here have regrets? Anybody here have a few regrets, a bag of regrets? Anybody got a tractor trailer load parked out behind your house? How can I live a life that? How can I live? That's the name. How can I live a life that pleases God? Wherever you're at, from this point forward, I want to please God. I think these are basic questions of life. How can I do this? How can I live this life this way? How can I live? How can our graduates, how can our high school students, how can our college students, how can our young adults, our marrieds, or almost marrieds, or used to be married, how can our folks that are seniors, how can I live the rest of my life that pleases God? How can I live the rest of my life without regrets? I'm glad you asked. We're in Psalm 119. We don't want to discount the future. We don't want to pretend that there's no such thing as consequences to action. We don't want to live in such a way where we're standing around going, man, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd raised my children differently. I wish I'd married differently. I wish I had a different marriage and how I reacted and acted with my spouse. I wish I'd done that. Instead of those things, I want to go forward from here. We have the two ideas, if you'll allow it. In Psalm 119, these have a section heading. Some of you see in there, Aleph and Beth and Gimel. And some of you are going, what are these? This is an acrostic. This is the Jewish alphabet. And we're in that second set of verses here, verse 9 through 16. We're not going to see all of them this morning. But he's basically answering a question. He's talking about the Word of God, and he's helping us to live a life without regret. He's helping us to answer the question, how can I live in such a way to please God? Let me just take a quick survey. I'm interested in living a life without regret or the rest of my life without regrets. And I really do want to live from here on in a way that pleases God. I'd love to pillow my head tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, pleasing God. I'd love to do that. If that would be you this morning, would you just kind of blink at me, wave at me, nod at me? Are you interested in that? I'm as interested as I can be. If I've got more years in front of me than I think, or if I've got as many years ahead of me as my dad, and his uncle, whatever time I've got left, I want to live it to please God. Truth of the matter is, I've lived long enough, I've been around enough, and talked to enough people. I don't if I could shake every young person 25 and under in this room and say, listen to me, it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it to live in sin. It isn't worth it to not pay attention. It isn't worth it. You'd much rather have very few regrets and a whole lot of I'm glad I did, because sin is a liar and the devil is a liar and it isn't worth it at all. Take the scripture and live a life that pleases God. If that's you this morning, I hope you'll tune right in here. There's a private side of these verses and a public side of these verses. And I want to offer them to you this morning. There's a private side and a public side to these verses. First off, there's some I want to's. You still with me this morning? Say amen. Amen? All right. If you're on the app, you can see the notes. If you're on the back of your bulletin, you can write these down. Number one, I want to live pleasing to God. Look at verse 9. Wherewithal, how shall a young person cleanse their way? In an impure world, in an unholy world, how can I do this? Where everybody's telling dirty jokes, and everybody's showing ugly videos, and everybody's dressing like they're headed to a nightclub, and everybody acting like that is no big deal, and everybody's sleeping around, and everybody, how am I supposed to live pure? Glad you asked. He says, I want you to be pure. I want you to be pure. You can study the Word. You can submit to the Word. Look at verse 9. By taking heed according to your Word. I'm going to have to be in the Word and the Word in me. And I'm going to have to submit to the Word of God. I was talking to someone this week and they talked about the look. Anybody grow up with a mom, grandma, stepmom, somebody who could give the look? I don't remember my dad giving the look, but I remember my mom giving the look. Truth of the matter is, my mom walked in and gave me the look. Now I'd probably sit down. I've seen the look. I don't see the look like I used to. Used to, at the grocery store, some kid be doing something, and I'd hear the aura. And the kid would look up, and the mom would be going. And the kid would be every now and then, I've given the dad look, and some of you have sat up straight. And you're just kind of wired that way. And we're going to do that. Some point, a parent said, you're going to submit to me. Grandparent, a mom, dad, somebody said, you're going to submit to me. With the Word of God, here's what I'm saying. I voluntarily submit. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. It was interesting, the NBA semifinals, the original playoff, it was a coach, and he just got all, or excuse me, not the NBA, the NCAA, and the tournament was going on, and the coach Izzo, it really just crawled some player, and the media was going crazy, but everybody else was like, hey, that's a coach. He signed up for this. He believes in the player. The player believes in him. It's not a big deal. You say, if I'm going to submit to the Word of God, I'm going to put myself under its authority. If it says do this, I'm going to do it. If it says don't do this, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to submit to the Word. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to make this my priority. I want to have this desire, number one here. I want to live pleasing to God. I want to live pleasing to God. That's going to be word-focused. I want to stay pleasing to God. I want to stay pleasing to God. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from your commandments. If I'd have known, I'd have written a book. I'd have journaled it. I'd have kept up with it all these years. Some of you, it's your testimony. I'm not picking at you. I'm really not. But I'm stunned by the number of people who start a conversation with me. I used to go to church. I used to read my Bible. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to. Look right at me. I'm not. Sometimes it's hurt. Sometimes it's calamity. I'm not discounting those. I'm not even going to talk about those. Those of you who know me know I'm not picking on you at all. But there are folks who let sin get in their life, and before they knew it, an aberration became normality. And all of a sudden, days and weeks turned into months and years. I listened to Seminar Thursday. The man said, nationwide survey, he said, the best I can figure, if somebody's out of church, more than 90 days, he said the 90 days will quickly turn into years. because they've established a new pattern in their life, and they no longer remember what it's like. And he said it's between 10 and 15% of those people will ever be faithful again in the house of God. Now, I hope his numbers are wrong, but all he was saying was they have a used to. Look at the verse, if you would. Help me not wander from your commandments. We sing a song. I've wandered far away from God. We sing it as a positive, comma. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. All of us are prone to wander. May I make a suggestion to you? Before you ever wander away from God, you will wander out of His Word. You'll wander out of His Word. All the folks that are doing the Continue program, and Terry and Cindy just finished up their 14 weeks. Man, we're thrilled. We'll have a certificate and all for them. Look right here. But one of the things we ask you to do is be in the Word. Be in the Word, because if you'll get in the Word, then you'll stay in church. If you'll get in the Word, then you'll be interested in pleasing God. If you'll get in the Word, you'll be there. Somebody says, man, where are those person been? I don't know where they've been. I don't know exactly what all's going on, but I can tell you one thing. They were out of the Word a long time before they were out of the church. They were out of the Word a long time before they were ever out of church. That always goes first. I want to stay pleasing to God. I want God to teach me. I want God to teach me. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. I come in this way. God, help me. And this is the private time. God, teach me from your word. Help me in your word. I've told some of you, I bought a new little booklet, and just a little cheap thing. And I'm just writing everything I can. And when I read, if a verse speaks to me, I'm writing the whole verse out. And I'm not just, I'm trying desperately to get away from the digital, because it's not as, I love to study with the digital, but the analog, I want it to come out of my pen. And I'm asking God, man, help me. I'm trying to be unrushed. I'm trying not to check it off a list. And I'm doing my very best. God, help me to understand here. What's going on? And speak to my heart about this. Lord, you teach me. You teach me. Somebody said, man, I hope the preacher's on today. Well, I hope I'm on too. But I'm more interested in the fact that I tuned into the Word of God and tuned into what the God of the Word has for me here. I want to be taught the Word of God. I want God to teach me. Finally, verse 10, look at this. This is the finishing part of this system or feeling. I'm sorry, I got a few more here in the private. I was done. I will be devoted to the Bible. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart I have sought thee. I'll be devoted to the Bible. I've been amazed at people in their latter years. They'll have a Bible close by. Pictures of grandchildren. I've been amazed at people pick up a Bible, hold it to their lips and kiss it. The book is precious, and it is a man-made cover. I'm not discounting that. Not in love with the book; they're in love with the content of the book. I know the difference. It's not sentimentality. It's been with them. Every so often, I'll be devoted to that. We're going to do a new study for our relationships called Love and Respect. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be really helpful. The first things they're going to do, they're going to talk about devotion to each other. And all of you that are married, about to be married, want to be married, all of you that wish you were married, wherever you find yourself, man, you're going to want to be here, because he's going to talk about devotion. Let me help you. I think before you're devoted to each other, you need to be devoted to the Bible. I will read it. I will learn it. I will love it. I will be devoted to it. And one of the ways I can do that is verse 11 here. I will memorize it. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I wish I kept up how many times, man, God's brought a verse back when I've been tempted. And most of the time it's been very inconvenient. God, I mean, nobody'd know, just me and God to feel like, and all of a sudden, man, that verse would pop back up in my head, and the guy's there, and he's got, I never forget, I was a teenager, and the guy had a ugly magazine. He was like, you want to take a peek, Roddy? And I said, no, I've made a previous commitment. The previous commitment was, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I lust upon a maiden? Number one. Number two, I suppose to honor the Lord. I suppose to honor my mom and dad. And if my mom and or my dad found out, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. So it was two powerful verses that came to my mind. These words that I hid in my heart. One of the things I encourage Mr. Glaspie and Miss Rachel in the back and Miss Kelly in the back is to teach the kids, to learn the scriptures. One of the things we encourage, one of the things we're trying to help you understand, man, I want to memorize the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Say, I can't memorize the Bible. Memorize a word this week and a word next week. We memorize all kind of things. You know the words to the latest dumb song. Pardon me. You know the good recruiting record that Pruitt has got. Excuse me. Pardon me. You know the easiest way to go here. You know the cheapest place to get gas. You memorize all kind of things, but you don't treasure God's word enough to put it in your heart. Robbie Gallaty, who pastors Long Hollow Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, he says he believes that the only word we take into heaven is the word that we put in our heart here on earth. I don't know if he's right or not, but it scares me to death. The word. Let me ask you real quick. The last time you studied, thought long enough about a passage, try and memorize part of it. So I want to live a life without regret. I'm telling you, be committed to the word, be devoted to the word, be memorizing the word. Be memorizing the word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against. I'll be sharing the Bible. I'll be sharing the Bible. See, the word that I put in, the word I can say out, verse 13, with my lips I've declared all the judgments. My lips, I would declare all the judgments. I want to do this, and I will do this. I will do this. I will delight in the Bible. And I will delight in the Bible. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of all your testimonies, much as in all riches. I think more of your word than I think of dollar bills. I think more of your word than I think of a nice car. I think more of your word than a nice car. I think more of your word than a nice juicy steak. I think more of your word than a bag full of loot. I think more of your word. If that's true of us, then not much is going to keep us from hearing the word. Somebody say amen to that. If that's true, then it's not going to. It'll take a whole lot for us not to be involved in it. Someone said that the health of a church can be seen in the groups that are studying God's word. I listened to that and I said, God's got to help us because, man, we're struggling sometimes in this area. We're struggling sometimes in this area. See, I think if we're in the Word at the house, we want to be in the Word with other people. By the way, and that's one of the reasons we have some of these things, and to help you to get in the Word at the house. I want to be there. I want to delight in the Word. He said it was greater to him than riches. Verse 15, I will meditate in your precepts and have respect in your ways. I didn't say this start. I should have said this. There are about 19 synonyms he uses in Psalm 119 for the Bible. Words, statutes, law, commandments. So he's using variety because it's good writing, but he's talking about the same thing. I will meditate. The word meditate has two ideas. You still with me? Say amen. I want to please God. I want to meditate. Look right here. The Jewish mind always thought the same thing. Meditate had two ideas. One was memorize, and two was think about. Every now and then, a preacher will say, it just means to think about. Well, you can't think about something you haven't learned. Everybody understand that? You can think about that. I need to think about it, but you can't actually think about it. Think about it. My wife gave me simple instructions the other day. Simple. She said, I was doing something. Really, it's her fault. She's not in here. That's why I'm saying this. How many of you think I'm just as crazy as I could be saying it's my wife's fault right now? Riley's back there with two hands in there. I was doing something. I was actually studying for this morning. She came in and said, I need you to do something. You listening? I'm setting an alarm. 20 minutes, I need you to go downstairs and cut the oven off. You don't have to take anything out of it. You can just cut the oven off. If you don't, dinner is ruined. All right. I didn't listen to her. No way. 20 minutes later, the alarm starts going off. Beep, 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 beep. And I'm going, what's the alarm for? Oh, yeah, oven. What am I supposed to do? I get down there. There's a pot on the oven. There's stuff in the oven. I don't know what to do. And I'm too proud and too lazy to call her. I don't remember what to do. I said, I think I'm supposed to take it out of the oven. So I cut the oven off, take the stuff out. My wife comes home half hour later. She goes, why'd you take stuff out of the oven? I don't know. You weren't listening to me, were you? In all fairness, I was doing something else. You said you understood me. Honey, I've agreed to lots of things before when I wasn't listening. I'm really certain that's why we're married. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't say that. And we're laughing and all. And she's like, it's fine. Dinner's not ruined. I was like, well, whew. She said, but all you had to do was cut it off. I did like 6 things I didn't need to do. I cut it off, seasoned it, pulled it out, and, you know, all this. I did everything but put it on a plate. I don't know what I was thinking. Then I ran back and finished what I was working on to start with. She laughed. She said, you really weren't tuned in at all. No, I wasn't. I wasn't remotely. I had no chance to meditate. I didn't even memorize. The Jewish mind would hear memorize and meditate. I will put God's word in my heart. We were dating. My wife would send me little pastel 3x5 cards. Verse she'd been working on. Verse she'd been praying for me. Put it in the mail. I was finishing up in Florida. For years, she'd have them on the dash. She'd have them on the mirror in the bathroom. Working on a verse. We can learn what we want to. We can study what we want to. We'll put God's word in my heart. I'm going to delight in it. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to meditate on it. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. It matters to me, God. It matters to me. It matters to me. It matters to me. Recently, I'm done. Tried to be on time so we could have some time to fellowship after the service. PBS came up with a new documentary. I don't know how long it's been out. I don't know if it's the second run or the first. It's called Carrier. It's a look at the life on board the USS Nimitz. It's a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. Over 5,000 sailors and Marines live on this floating armed city. The president can send it anywhere in the world to display the military might of the U.S. at a moment's notice. An aircraft carrier is a mobile 4-acre expression of United States sovereignty. The crew on the Nimitz have many different jobs, but they all have one purpose: maintain and launch aircraft that can deliver ordnance and demolish chosen targets. Seek and destroy. Food service personnel, pilots, machinists are all there to make sure that the Nimitz does its job, any circumstance, any place in the world. What the documentary talked about was fascinating to me. No matter what their job, no matter what their title, every crew member stops for a few minutes in their daily routine and they assemble on the deck. And they perform what's called a FOD walk. FOD is an acronym, Foreign Object Damage. And they will walk shoulder to shoulder, 3 to 4 lines. And they will walk slowly, carefully, with their necks craned down, looking for any bolts, screws, trash, or scrap metal. Because any of the above could prove catastrophic to the launching of those 85 planes or the maintenance of those lifts. So every crew member participates at least once during their rotation. Is there anything that would cause catastrophe? Let me help you. Is there anything in your life that would cause catastrophe? I can suggest one to you. Wherewithal, how shall a young man? Child old man, how shall a young woman, how shall an old woman live in a way that's pleasing to God and it's holy? It doesn't have regrets. How can I live from this point forward without regrets? By taking heed Word of God. Guess what the world will do? You pick that up, you throw that away. You watch out for that. Say, preacher, I can't do that because I'm into wandering. I used to. You can come home today. You can come home today. I got all this regret. You can come home today. I used to. I want to. I'm struggling. You can come home today. Promise is as good today as it was to David. Promise is as good today, ever what age you are, it was to the younger version of yourself, and it will be the older version of yourself. I don't live pure. I don't want to live with regret. And I don't want to live anymore with these regrets today. What the Word says, I'll do. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to do my best to love what God says to me. How's your FOD walk? Discounting the future? Won't happen to me. Won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. Would you pray with me right now? Father, I believe there's some folks here who really and truly want to love you and serve you all their heart.